Well, we all have possibly a picture of what angels look like and what they do, and some of us believe that angels can supernaturally help our teams win if we pray hard enough, like they did last night in the second half of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and finally woke up LeBron James's elbow and whatever else they needed, if we pray hard enough, our sports team will win. And so we have all these like contrived thoughts about what angels look like. Now, there's a lot of good nuggets in that clip. The fact that God and angels are on the same side, the angels are absolutely God's supernatural warriors. And we're going to talk about that. But some of the perceptions that are out there about angels, I mean, maybe we gained an understanding of what angels are by watching Touched by an Angel. And so now we think all angels come with a British accent or something. Or listen, if you're a Van Halen fan, you automatically assume that babies smoke cigarettes or angels smoke cigarettes. You ever seen the front of the album cover, 1984 Jump? Okay, all right. Thank you. I'm not alone here, right? So what I meant to say is that we see sometimes that angels come in the form of naked babies with wings, right? And they're playing harps, and sometimes they're shooting arrows, and maybe the most theologically correct of all angels in movies would be Michael. And in that case, we have an angel who walks around drinking beer, scratching himself, and carousing with women. I mean, these are the perceptions that society tries to fill our head with and fill our minds with. And so we want to knock apart all of those misconceptions and gain a full understanding of really who are angels and what is it that they do. Now, one of the things and common misconceptions we might have about angels that all of us might have experienced at some point in time is we think that angel, when someone dies, a loved one dies, they go to heaven and become an angel, and they're watching over us. And we say, well, you know, grandma died, and grandma's in heaven, and she's watching over me right now. I don't know about you, but I don't want my grandmother watching over everything I do, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? I mean, think about that for a second. Do you really want your grandma seeing everything? Okay? The Bible does not support that. God's Word doesn't support that. I think that brings comfort to our souls, but once again, we have to understand what is the truth behind the concept of angels. Angels are simply God's servants. They're supernatural beings created by God for His glory, to do His bidding and to do His work here on earth and also in the heavenlies. And they are fierce and powerful as they are gentle and caring protectors. They're an amazing creation. Because you'll see in the Bible where God sends His angels against armies and kills thousands and obliterates entire armies in battle. And at the same time, you'll see these same angels being sent by God to sit down and care for a loving mother or child and to offer protection for those people. You see it from both sides, just how powerful they are. They absolutely are the super beings of God. And they are in this place right now. They're all around us more than we could possibly know. Because again, the supernatural world is as real as this physical world, albeit much more important. And we can't necessarily see it with our eyes. It doesn't mean that it's not there. But if that doesn't blow your mind enough, what really is hard to understand is not only are they around us right now in the supernatural world, but the Bible would tell us and support the fact that angels from time to time can show up and look like human beings. Now, for some of you, that might be a little far out there for you, so let me take you right to God's Word before you think this is coming from me. Let's jump into Genesis 18 and Genesis 19 real quick. I'm just going to tell you a couple of real quick stories. The first one is an experience that Abraham has, and the next one is the one that Lot has, and they're not related. But simply one day in Genesis 18, you see Abraham hanging out. He's working on the farm, and his wife is making dinner or something, and they're just kind of living life, and these three guys show up. And Abraham goes to his wife Sarah and says, hey, why don't you make them some bread? Let's invite them in for a meal. And the Bible tells us that these three men are what? Angels. Ordinary, everyday guys that Abraham and Sarah themselves don't even recognize as angels. To them, they're ordinary, everyday people. Move on to chapter 19. Lot has a similar but unrelated experience. He's in Sodom right now, and two guys, just your run-of-the-mill guys, are walking through a town, walking over to his place, and they're looking for a place to stay. And so Lot invites them in, and he invites them in to stay, and the Bible tells us that those two guys are as well angels. And in that moment, Lot doesn't recognize them for who they are either. All right, let's turn to the New Testament in Hebrews 13:2. That'll be in your notes, and it should be on the screen. And here is the supporting piece that connects the Old Testament to the New Testament belief about angels. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained what? Angels without knowing it. Have entertained angels without knowing it. I've had this, my own personal experience with this. It was on a camping trip last year. We were finishing up our Myrtle Beach trip. We were staying a couple nights in Lexington. My daughter Isabel got violently ill one night in the camper, of all places, on vacation, spiking 103, 104 degree temperature, scary stuff. She was getting sick in the camper, and it was a mess, and it was a nightmare. So the next morning, immediately we got up, we drove into Lexington, and we went to the emergency room at Children's Hospital, and you've been to our emergency rooms before when you don't have an appointment. Actually, most emergency rooms, you don't have an appointment, okay? And you sit there, and you sit there. And so I have all the rest of the kids with me, and I take them out to the truck to keep them entertained by popping in movies. It's raining cats and dogs outside, and Aaron is in there, and at 9 o'clock comes around, 10 o'clock comes around, 11 o'clock, I'm checking on the cell phone with her, they still haven't seen Isabel, 12 o'clock, and all the kids are irritated and agitated, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is our vacation, my daughter's in there ill, we're in a foreign place, we don't know what's really going on, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, we don't know what today's going to bring. And the clock kept ticking away. It came to 1 o'clock. They finally saw her, but then they needed to run tests. Then it came to 2 o'clock. And finally, I was at my wit's end. I just said, I need to get the kids somewhere. I looked across the street from the hospital parking lot, which is where we were sitting, and there was a Speedway gas station. And so I thought, okay, I know they have like two for $2 sandwiches or something. We'll go over there and get something to eat, get a snack, get the off the kids' minds. Pulled into the parking lot, walked in, and this lady was standing there, and she looks at us and says, hey, y'all, welcome to Speedway. And she looked at me, and I didn't give her any information. She says, I can tell you guys are hungry. You guys want to come in and get something to eat? Now, how would she know that? We're walking into a gas station, for goodness sakes. Okay, that's not the first feeling you have when you go to a gas station, okay, is hunger. All right? And so we walked in, she says, hey, I just made these sandwiches back here. Why don't you get yourself something? If you don't see what you like, I could probably heat something up in the back. And she said, you know what? Come to think of it, I bet your little ones would like corn dogs. I don't have any ready just yet, but I'll go back and I'll nuke you some, and I'll bring those out for you in just a couple minutes. Now go help yourself to some drinks because they're all 89 cents. So don't go getting the small one because that's just as expensive as the large 64, Route 64, whatever they call those stuff. I mean, you could swim in these things if you know what I'm talking about here. And it's like 64 ounces of sugar and sugary goodness. And so she said, get yourself one of those. And so she comes back out and she's ringing us out. And it just hit me that God placed this woman here in that moment, not because she needed to earn a dime that day, not because she was working at the gas station, but He placed her there for us. He placed her there for us. Now, whether she realized it or not, she was our angel in that moment. She brought us peace. She brought me comfort. I can't tell you how much of a relief, how much of a restful moment that was, how much of a respite for my soul in this terrible, difficult moment that was for me and for my kids. Make no mistake about it, encounters with angels are real, and sometimes they take the form of real people. So who are angels? Well, angels are just simply spiritual beings created by God, for God and for His purposes, and are basically three things that angels are. Angels are worshipers. Well, have you ever felt that here worshiping before? Can you corroborate that? Angels are worshipers. It says, wherever you find God, you will find angels that are worshiping Him. Right here in God's Word. And then, when He presented His honored Son to the world, God said, let all the angels of God worship Him. In another reference, it says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands. They encircled the throne. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and strength and honor and glory and praise. Sisters and brothers, when we gather in a place like this and we're singing and we're praying and we're hearing God's Word, we're not alone. We are not alone. We are surrounded by God's angels. And you want to know why we sound so good? It's because the angels are singing with us. That's how 150 people who can't sing can sound good. If I can sound good singing with you guys, I must have an angel sitting there singing with me. And the Bible tells us that we are not alone. We are not alone in those moments. And we sing, and they sing, and we sing together. And that's what they do. Angels are worshipers, and they are also warriors. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Angels are warriors. They do battle for you, and they do battle for me. And they are fiercely powerful warriors. And they're battling on behalf of God, and they're battling on behalf of that. And I'm going to go back to a really cool scripture we've been sharing all the weeks of this sermon series from Daniel chapter 10. And you remember in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had been praying for how many days? I know some of you remember this scripture. 21 days? He'd been praying for 21 days, and he hadn't gotten an answer. You ever been praying and felt like you aren't getting an answer? You're not getting any headway? You're feeling like your prayers are weak? They're useless? God's not paying attention? God doesn't care? Daniel's in that spot. 21 days later, an angel comes to him and says, let me tell you what's been going on. From the very first moment you prayed, God heard your request, and He's been answering your prayer. And by the way, I've been personally doing battle for you. I've been battling a demon from the Prince of Persia in the heavenlies, and only now I could come to you because Michael, the archangel, came to relieve my responsibilities, and now I'm coming to you to tell you that your prayer has been answered. That tells us a lot about prayer, doesn't it? First of all, our prayers are much more powerful than we think they are. And when we can't see things happening here in the physical world, God is at work doing battle for us in the supernatural world. Praise God. Praise God. But what that also tells us is that angels are fierce warriors, and they will battle for you. They will go to the mat for you in the name of God. In the name of God's work and plan for your life, they will go to battle for you. And they did for Daniel, and they will for you. Watch this in Revelation. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against Satan, and Satan and Satan's angels fought back." And we all know where demons came from and where Satan came from. He was once an angel, and his demons were once angels too, and they all got kicked out of heaven. And so now God's angels are doing battle with Satan and his demons, and we can see here that they fought back. They didn't take any guff. They didn't take any garbage from Satan. God doesn't take any garbage from Satan because Satan wants to be God, and so that's why God kicked his can out of heaven. And so don't you know that just because when he kicked him out of heaven, if it's not done, he's going to continue to kick him around here on earth on our behalf. And he is going to do battle for us, and he's going to fight back through his angels. So they are worshipers, they are warriors, they are messengers. Angels are definitely messengers. When you see a word from God fall upon someone's heart and life in the Old Testament and the New Testament, a lot of times it comes from the voice of what? An angel. An angel comes and gives them a voice about something. For instance, in the book of Judges, Gideon. Now, Gideon wasn't always the mighty warrior that you see in Scriptures. He started out as a pretty weak and frail and timid and fearful guy. As a matter of fact, when we first see him, we see an angel appearing to him, and guess where he is? He is in the wine press house, and he is working on his wheat. He's harvesting his wheat. Now, if you're going to harvest wheat, you do that out in the field normally. You don't do it back in the wine press, okay? But he's up on a hill up in the wine press. He's hiding. Who's he hiding from? He's hiding from the Midianites. Because the Midianites, during this time, regularly terrorize the Israelites, and they steal their crops, kill off their livestock, and in a lot of cases bring harm to the Israelites. And so Gideon is afraid for his life, and he's cowering away in the wine press. And here's what happens when this angel comes to him. It says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon in that moment, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" And that's the name that has stuck with Gideon. If you read the story of Gideon and all of his excerpts and exploitations and experiences, which are awesome, he's a great guy, you understand that that defines who he is. He is a mighty warrior after God's own heart. And it all started with a message from an angel. Do you think that he felt power in that moment? Do you think he felt hope? Do you think that the fear subsided and faith started to build up in his life? You bet it did. And it all came from a message from God through an angel into his life. Here's one of the more better-known stories from Scripture of where an angel was present. It says, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus.'" The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Savior for all kind, the message was brought to Mary through an angel. Angels are messengers, angels are worshipers, and angels are warriors. Angels are warriors. Well, what is it that angels do? What do angels do then, if that are the three things that they are? Well, they do a lot. But again, we're going to focus in on three specific things. First of all, angels give you direction. Oh, praise the Lord, because some of you are directionally challenged, right? I know I am. And angels are there to give us direction from time to time, to challenge us. When we're heading in the wrong direction, they're there to steer us and correct us. We're heading in the right direction, they're there to keep us on that straight and narrow path. We need help and guidance to face this future, specifically an unknown future. And go back to the story with Mary. You know, we all know how this plays out. Mary has a fiancé, his name is Joseph, and so Mary goes to Joseph one day and says, "Hey, by the way, I'm pregnant." And Joseph's first response is, okay, great. Imagine his surprise because he says, "I wasn't there." Okay, there's a problem here because I wasn't there for that. And so Mary's response is, "Hey, Joseph, but here's the really cool part about it. I'm pregnant from the Holy Spirit." And so Joseph's response is, yeah, right. No, seriously, who really did this? And Mary's response is like, well, really, it was God. And Joseph's response is like, well, I'm not going to go and tell my buddies that. Okay? So he planned to break off the engagement and to save face. And what did God do to intervene in that moment? He sent an angel. "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" An angel came and redirected his path. He was headed down the wrong path. God sent an angel to redirect him. But one of my favorite stories of redirection of all time is Balaam and his donkey. Balaam and his donkey. All right, let me read the first part of this story to you, and then I'll fill you in on the rest. All right, in Numbers, it says this: "Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry with where he was going. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. So the donkey turned away, because the donkey saw the angel, but Balaam didn't. And so here we have a normal guy who's on a journey, and he's going in the wrong direction, and God is going to redirect him. And so in this moment, the story continues on in the scripture. It's a big, long story, so I'll just pare it down for you. You ought to read this on your own, because this is good reading. This is good stuff. God has a sense of humor, I'm telling you. Balaam goes off in the field, and the donkey goes off in the field. Balaam gets off of the donkey, and he starts beating the donkey, yelling at the donkey, bad donkey, bad donkey. How come you're, what are you doing? I mean, you know, get back on the road. And so he finally gets back on the donkey. They get back on the trail, and then the angel of the Lord shows up again with a sword in his hand. And this time he's standing in a narrow gate that the road is going through. And so the donkey sees the angel again. Balaam doesn't, and the donkey steers real quick to the left, crushes Balaam's ankle against the wall. And you can imagine that Balaam's not too happy with his donkey right now, because he still doesn't see the angel. And so he gets off the donkey and he's beating that donkey again. And if there was a PETA back then, this guy would have been arrested. I mean, because he's abusing animals. I mean, he was just beating him inside out and upside down. He was bad donkey, bad donkey, bad, bad, bad. And so he hops back on the donkey the third time. He gets back out on the road and he's going again. And guess what happens? The angel of the Lord shows up again with the sword in his hand. This time the donkey's had enough. It just lays down right there in the road. You can just imagine Balaam's disgust. He got off that donkey and he put bruises on that thing. I mean, he was beating this donkey and he was so angry. All of a sudden, God opens the donkey's mouth, the Bible says, and God starts speaking to Balaam through his donkey and starts saying things like this. It gets even better. He starts saying, listen, I'm your donkey. I've served you all these years. Why are you treating me like this? And so in that moment, as if it's not odd enough, Balaam just starts talking back to his donkey like it's normal. And so they exchange and have this conversation. And then the Bible tells us in that moment when Balaam started talking back to God through his donkey, his eyes were opened and he saw the angel standing there. And the angel said to him, listen, had you gone any further, I'd have killed you, but I'd have saved your donkey. All right? So technically, God, through this angel, saved Balaam's ass. Sorry, parents, if you want me to talk to your kids after worship, I'll be happy to explain all that. And if you think that you can't hear from God, if he can talk to Balaam through his own donkey, he could talk to you through any possible medium here on earth and get a message across to you. And so in this moment, we see a guy who is headed down the wrong path in the wrong direction, and what happens? God sends an angel, and he redirects his path. He redirects his path. I mean, we've been there before. We have been hell-bent on doing something in our life. We got to get this done, or this is the way it's going to happen, and this is where we're going, and this is what we're doing. And all of a sudden, we have these roadblocks that kind of hit us, and things aren't going the way that we wanted them to go. And we say, what the heck is going on? I mean, what is the deal with this? Why is this happening to me? I know this is where I should go. Maybe it's an angel trying to redirect us off of the wrong path onto the right path. Who knows why God intervenes in those moments? I mean, God has done things like that in my own life. We had a Memorial Day camping trip scheduled last year, and this was we had gotten a camper the year before and only had a chance to go out a couple of days on it. So I spent the whole off season just looking forward to going camping, and so I planned this Memorial Day trip back in like the January of that year of January 2009, and I was getting all excited about it. We talked about it, and the closer we got to it, the more barriers I discovered on being able to go that weekend, and one of which was Isabel's surgery that we hadn't planned. And she wasn't going to be getting her cast off until like 2 days before we left on the camping trip. And so that in and of itself was just no way. And then we started seeing some events popping up like graduation parties and some other things we didn't want to miss that weekend. And so I was just fighting tooth and nail. I said, Lord, we are going to do this. We are going. And one day, I remember, you guys ever been there before? You just got something you know you want to do and you're going to do it come hell or high water. And God just put something on my heart at a moment. I can't remember where I was, but he just said, John, you just need to drop this thing. Drop it. Drop it. I said, okay. All right. You know, dropped it, canceled the reservation, and we had a great weekend that weekend. Isabel got her surgery done. She was able to transition nicely into her new feet, and literally, I mean, she had foot surgery, and we went to a couple of graduation parties, had a blast with friends and family, you guys here at the church that weekend. It had lousy weather that weekend, okay? And I said to myself, I am so glad we're not camping this weekend. for so many reasons. You ever been there before where you've been redirected? And in this moment, listen, I don't know what would have happened to us on that camping trip. I mean, maybe there was going to be disaster. Maybe we would have got a car accident. I mean, we never know when God protects us and saves us. We always say, well, where is God when this happened? Well, we don't know all the times that God has cared for us when things do go our way. And I think that's one of those moments where God literally redirected my family and redirected me for His reasons that maybe we'll still never know to this point. But angels will redirect you, and angels will protect you from danger. Angels will protect you from danger. In Psalm 91 it says, "For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Go tell Balaam that, but he got his foot struck against a stone pretty good. Angels protect you from danger. I have another firsthand experience. Listen, this is how God makes Himself real in this world, through everyday encounters with people. And it's our testimonies that make Him real, and His Word that makes Him real. You can't discount people's testimonies. That's why I'm sharing a lot of Scripture examples with you today. And I got another personal example of where I've just sensed an angel was there and present and intervened in my life. What's that road outside of your parents' house? Prouty? Where that traffic light is? Real dangerous intersection outside of Aaron's parents' house. You go up a hill, there's a traffic light at the top, a crossroad, and then the hill goes right back down again. And so when you go up that road and you think you're going to take a left when it's green and you think there's no cars coming, you can't see the cars rushing up the hill. And they're going 35, 40, 45 miles an hour. Well, one day I forgot about that. And I'm just, I just got done seeing Aaron. I think we were courting at the time. And, you know, I was on cloud nine because I saw my girl. I'm about to whip that thing to the left and take a left there. And all of a sudden I see a car coming. And I remembered how dangerous that intersection was. And, you know, it seemed like a lifetime, but it happened in a nanosecond. I knew I was going to get obliterated. I mean, you just know those moments where you're headed for destruction. And I was waiting for the sound of the crash. You ever been in a car accident? And the sound of the crash and that steel crushing and me and the whole piece, just terrible, terrible moment. And all of a sudden, I just remember it was done. And the car was behind me, and I was still there, and I was still driving, and there wasn't a scratch in the car. And I can't explain to you. I mean, I can't explain to you why we didn't hit head on that day. I can't explain to you other than the fact that I sense and believe it wasn't luck. You know, it wasn't chance, okay? All right? And somehow there was an angel and possibly tugged his steering wheel a little bit. Maybe there was an angel tugged my steering wheel a little bit. I don't know. But all I know is something supernatural happened in that moment. In the New Testament, we see examples of this. Peter's one of them. He was locked up in prison, and at any moment, Herod could come and execute him. He was on death row. And here's what happened. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. By the way, if you're having a bad morning and you can't figure out what you're going to wear that day, the angel will come help you with that too. All right, he'll get you dressed in the morning too. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches." Paul is testifying here to a real life example and an encounter with an angel, with the heavenlies. How awesome is that? We may not see glowing figures with wings, okay? But the reality is we have the faith that they are there, and they are there to protect us, that angels are all around us whether we see them or not, because Paul had an account. I've had an account. I know that you probably have examples now that you're thinking of and you're saying, you know what, that wasn't chance. You know, there probably was a supernatural intervention in my life at that moment. One more example. We were shopping up at the mall up in Toledo. What's the big Franklin Park Mall? And is that Monroe Street right there? A real busy street. 4, 5, 6 lanes, 2 on each side, and a middle turn lane. And we dropped the car off. I dropped the girls off, and Austin and I went across the street to drop the truck off at the tire place. I think it's Discount Tire. And to get the tires rotated, and we ran across to the mall to hang out with the girls, and we'd let them work on the car while we're shopping. I mean, yeah, you got the best of both worlds, right? And so we went back to the mall, and we're hanging out there, and all that was done. It was time to go, so Austin and I ran across the street to go back to get the truck. Only when you get to a busy intersection like that, you got to time it so that when the car passes you going this way, you jump out as soon as it's done so that you can beat the cars coming this way, because you don't get too many windows of opportunity to run across a five-lane crowded street. So Austin's with me. I'm standing on the left, and Austin is to the right of me, and the cars on this side of the road are coming this way. Cars over there are going that way. And so I'm timing this next car because it's going to clear up over here. And I say to Austin, "Don't pay attention to what's going on. Just listen to my voice. When I tell you to go, you run." Okay? And so this car gets in front of me. And what I forgot about is that when a car clears me, it doesn't necessarily mean it's cleared Austin yet. And so this car is in front of me, and I say, "Run." And to my horror, in that split second, I remember that this car has not yet cleared Austin, and I see him step out into the street. And I yell, but it's not soon enough, because the car is already there and is already passed. And I kid you not, there is no possible way he didn't get hit in that moment. And I don't understand why it didn't happen, and I don't understand why that experience was the way it was. But in that moment, I don't know if there was an angel grabbing a hold of his shirt, pulling him back a little bit. I can't explain it to you. But I don't even think he realizes what happened. But we both made it across the street and got our car and went back to the mall. Supernatural encounters, experiences that we cannot explain away in these moments, that God is present in our life and intervening. Thirdly and finally, angels minister to you. They bring God's love, healing power to you. So angels will give you direction. They will protect you from danger, and angels will minister to you. And they'll do that by bringing God's loving, healing power into your life. In Hebrews it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" They are ministering spirits. What a cool word. I mean, you see this in the life of Jesus. The Son of God is ministered to by angels on two specific occasions. One was when he was fasting in the desert for 40 days. And then what happened at the end of that fast? Satan came to tempt him three different times. So he was emotionally, spiritually, physically drained and tormented. And here's what the Bible says happened. "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." To the Son of God. Angels came and ministered to the Son of God. And in the original Greek, the word minister means diakono, which is translated to mean to be an attendant to wait upon, to minister as unto a friend. And so these angels ministered to Jesus as a friend would minister to you or care for you and for me. It happened in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus too. Remember, Jesus was just beside himself with the realization of the pain and agony and death on the cross he was going to have to experience. And it tells us in that moment, that scary, fearful experience where he just wanted nothing to do with it, "Lord, take this cup from me," we see that an angel came, and it says an angel from heaven appeared to him and literally what? Strengthened him. The angel of God brought strength into Christ's life at that moment, which allowed Jesus to respond, "Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done." It gave him the strength to go through that difficult circumstance. And angels have done that for my family as well. I can't tell you the number of times we've been down to Cincinnati Children's Hospital for surgeries for Isabel. And you would think walking into a hospital, it would be kind of a dark place because there's just a lot of bad things happening there. A lot of pain in children's lives, the pain in families' lives, loss of loved ones, dealing with severe issues like Isabel had. But I'm here to tell you that may be one of the holier places on the face of the earth. I mean, I walk into that hospital, and Isabel's about to have major surgery that day, and every single time I walk in that hospital, I feel peace. I'm kidding you. I'm out in the parking lot, I feel something different. I walk through the doors, and all of a sudden, the spirit inside of my heart changes. And I feel lifted up, I feel a peace that comes over me, I feel love, and I feel the presence of something supernatural. And I'm here to tell you why, because thousands of people are praying for people in that hospital. That hospital is one of the most prayed for places, I'm sure, in the whole state of Ohio, as are probably other hospitals. And so during this terrible moment, this difficult circumstance with our daughter, there is just this presence, this powerful presence of a supernatural experience that I can't fully explain to you other than there are angels there ministering to our hearts and preparing our hearts as mom and dad for what's about to happen with their daughter and what she's going to have to go through for the next few weeks as she recovers from that surgery. They are ministering to our hearts as a friend would minister to a friend. Angels can strengthen you. They can strengthen you right now. I mean, maybe you have a vision to do something and you don't see how it's going to get done. You don't see where the money's going to come from or where the man or woman hours are going to come from. And maybe an angel can give you strength to help you keep on keeping on. Maybe you're facing a challenge in your marriage right now and you're thinking, "Man, we cannot get through this." But maybe an angel is going to come to you and give you some hope in that moment. Maybe you're facing a temptation and you think, "I just can't overcome this." Maybe an angel is going to come and give you the strength to overcome your hurt habit or hang up. Maybe you're in a moment right now where you're just exhausted physically, spiritually. You're just burnt out emotionally. And an angel is going to come and strengthen you. Sisters and brothers, this is all very, very real. I want to invite the band to come up for our closing worship experience and for communion. And I want to wrap up with some of these thoughts for our whole series. There is a very real spiritual world out there, just as there is a physical world. Just as I can see you, you can see me. There is a world out there that is just as real as the physical world, and it is a supernatural world. And in that world, there is a battle that's going on between darkness and light and between God and the evil one. And God has equipped us with the Holy Spirit, and He's equipped us with His angels, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people. We are fighting against the principalities and the forces of darkness in this world. And our weapons are not nunchucks or nuclear bombs or guns, but our weapons are that we are saved by grace, and that brings peace to our hearts. Our weapons are we are made right in Christ, and we have faith in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we have God's Word in the Bible that we can use to go on the offense, and that we can pray boldly before God and trust and believe that He's going to answer those prayers. Sisters and brothers, we don't fight to gain victory. We fight from victory, because we fight with the presence of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has victory over sin and death and who's already proved it because He was raised from the dead. We have this truth in our lives so that we might be able to do battle, not on our own behalf, but so that God might do battle on our behalf, as He surrounds us with His angels and fills us with His Holy Spirit. Sisters and brothers, I pray today that you embrace the victory that Christ has brought you, and will continue to bring you. Because after all, that's what Holy Communion is all about. I want to move into a time of Holy Communion right now where we are reminded of how Christ made victory possible. And on the night in which He was betrayed, and I want to go ahead and invite our servants to come forward too. On the night in which He was betrayed, this plan was set forth. And as He broke the bread, He broke the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." And He distributed the bread amongst them. He said, "Take me into your life. Let me be a part of who you are. Let me guide you in your life. And I will protect you. I will watch over you. I will do battle for you. I will care for you. I will surround you." And He made that possible through His broken body. And then after He broke the bread and distributed that, He grabbed the cup and He poured out the wine, and we serve grape juice here. And He said, "This is my blood shed for you, shed for the forgiveness of your sin, to the point where there are no more sacrifices necessary. This is the one sacrifice for all time for those who believe." And because of that, we were set free. Free from the tyranny of this world, free from the tyranny of sin, and free from the tyranny of the forces of darkness, because God provided for us in an incredible way through His Son Jesus. I'm going to invite our servants to move to the sides of the sanctuary here. In a moment, you're going to come down the center aisles. You'll go to one of either side here. You'll tear off a piece of the bread, dip it in the cup, partake of the elements, and let this be an opportunity for you to come and encounter the supernatural in your life. I want to encourage you to turn over whatever struggles you have, whatever battles happening in your life right now that you need to let go of. Let go of that here and give it to God, and come in a prayerful spirit and a prayerful heart, because everybody's welcome to this table. It doesn't matter if you come from a different denomination. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the church or not. It doesn't matter if you're even questioning your own faith in God. Come forward and trust God and invite Christ to take over your life and experience Holy Communion. As you come forward, we want to encourage you to bring your offerings. It's a chance for us to give back to God, to gather His tithes and our offerings. The basket's right here. You give your offering and you go partake. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we are not on our own. God, thank you so much that you do battle for us as you do battle in us and through us. God, thank you that you're doing battle right now that we can't even see for stuff that's going on in our life, that you're so loving that sometimes you don't even let us in on all the terrible things that could possibly happen in the future of our life, Lord, but you're doing battle to prevent some of those from happening, Lord. And when you do let things happen into our life, Lord, they're there for a reason, to mold us and shape us and to build character, God. So let us not sit in judgment of when you choose to rescue us or when you choose to heal us in these moments, Lord, but let us just trust that you are doing battle for us in the heavenlies. And God, you don't just work from heaven, from a distant, far-off place, but you have filled us with your Spirit, God, made possible by your Son, Jesus Christ. And you surrounded us with your angels. Lord, thank you for those truths and those realities for our life. And God, let us feel the experience and the presence of the supernatural. It's in your name we pray and give thanks. Amen. I want to invite you now to come down the center aisle and partake of Holy Communion. Would you please come? We serve a good God. As you leave out of this place today, leave in the power and the reality of the Holy Spirit, and the power and the reality that you don't go alone in life, and that you're surrounded in a good way. We pray that you have a great week in the power of God. We have prayer tonight at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and do battle with us as we pray. Hey, guys, those of you that are out of here after this weekend, we love you. Have a great summer. Come back. Come back in the fall. We'll see you in the fall. If you get a chance to greet some of our college students, is Tiffin out this week, next week too? They graduated yesterday. So if you get a chance to say hi to one of our college students on their way out today, I know they'd appreciate that. So have a great week. God bless. Amen.